Hi, everybody. I'm Josh.
And I'm Ethan. And this is The Young Perspective.
So, everybody, it's back to school season. And with COVID raging right now throughout the United States, with cases constantly rising and decreasing, and the virus constantly spreading, it is a big question. Are schools going to reopen in person? Are they going to stay virtual? Or are they going to do a hybrid mix kind of model?
Mm-hmm. So when schools are deciding whether to open back up or to go on virtual, or to, you know, give the option whether to come back to for kids to come back to school or to stay at home, they have to consider a lot of things. And so do families, if they have to make that option whether to go keep their kids at home or send them back to school. And one of the things is the importance of in-person school. In-person school is so much better for a student's learning than virtual school, in the sense that when you're in person, you get the environment of being there. You can focus easier. You don't have to be on a screen for hours. That's really bad for you. And also, you're like in person with other kids, and so you have the environment that allows you to be more successful than just being at home on a laptop.
Well, it's also that, especially for younger kids, in-person learning is really the only way to learn. If you're maybe in elementary school, third grade or second grade or first grade and younger, how can you learn on the computer? How can you learn basic math skills or basic reading skills if you're not in person, sitting next to a teacher or in a class with other students? These skills, especially for younger kids, can't be learned online. And that is one of the real issues with online learning.
Yeah. And, you know, with little kids in elementary school, teachers are constantly having to tell them to do their work, watch them, make sure that they're not goofing off, they're still paying attention. Little kids have no attention spans. I mean, they do, but compared to older kids, they're just learning how to get used to things. And school in general, it's going to be so much harder for them to do that online than it would be in person. And another thing that's really important about on the older aspect, so for kids who are, you know, or older, maybe in middle school or high school, is mental health. Being online is very detrimental for adolescents' mental health compared to what it would be in school. When you get in school, you get to be with friends, you get to interact with people, and, you know, it's pretty depressing quarantining and being on a virtual school by yourself for months at a time.
So I'm pulling up a study here. The study says an environment where students feel safe and connected, like school, is associated with lower levels of depression, thoughts about suicide, social anxiety, and sexual activity, as well as higher levels of self-esteem and more adaptive use of free time. So basically, a lot studies show time and time again that school is good for students' mental health, whether it be lowering depression, self-esteem, increasing self-esteem, making students feel good about themselves, help make them feel good when they achieve something, when they get a good grade. And it also prevents substance abuse. I mean, that mm-hmm. is one of the biggest detriments, especially to high school students, to their learning and to their futures, is when they get hooked on a substance such as marijuana or alcohol. So when school is online, there is an overarching detriment to students' mental health, which doesn't only affect them in the short term, but affects them in years down the line and maybe even in their whole lives, right? It'll prevent them from getting a good education, maybe going to college, maybe getting a better job in the future. So mental health today can affect the next generation of the workforce tomorrow.
Another thing that's really important about in-person school is the national school lunch and breakfast programs that are in place. So at school, students are given school lunches and breakfast if they need it for free. And a lot of parents need this. They can't afford to give their kids breakfast and lunch every day. And so if kids are forced to be in school online, they could go hungry and they could be malnourished just because they're not getting lunch and breakfast every day like they would be getting at school.
They say eating food and eating breakfast and lunch are crucial to actual learning, especially in elementary kids. So if they don't eat at home, it's also going to worsen their online learning. But A statistic says that about 30 million children participate in the national school lunch program, and nearly 15 million participate in the school breakfast program. That's a lot of kids. That's a big percentage of the overarching population of public school kids. It's estimated that 11 million food insecure children in the United States use these programs. That's 11 million kids who, if you take them out of school, wouldn't be able to eat breakfast or lunch. So that is one of the hardest parts about distance learning, is they don't eat. And when they don't eat, they can't learn, and they can't, and that also affects their mental health as well. So, you know, in school, learning has a lot of benefits, but during COVID-19, it can also be very dangerous, right? Of course, the virus spreads like wildfire, and masks are supposed to prevent it, but especially in schools, kids don't follow the rules, younger kids don't wear masks. So that really is the problem. How do you control the virus while letting kids go back to school?
Right. You know, a lot of schools, what they're doing is they're putting in places, or they're putting in different guidelines that the CDC is suggesting, like everyone has to wear a mask, they're sanitizing surfaces, they're putting out hygiene stations, so they're putting out like hand sanitizers, and they're making kids stay physically distanced. So maybe they're moving desks apart, and they're trying to cut down on big school assemblies, so, you know, not many people are together at all times. But the problem with all of this, all of it's put down the drain. If kids, you know, when teachers are gone and they're just by themselves in hallways or on buses or in classrooms when a teacher leaves the classroom, if they just, you know, disregard all these guidelines, take off their masks, or don't physically distance, they get right next to each other. And so all these things are put away if, you know, students actually don't follow these guidelines. And, you know, students are students. They don't, sometimes they don't make the best decisions. And so it's likely that these things can be broken easily.
So, you know, whatever, the students get sick, it doesn't really affect them. According to the CDC, as of July 17th, the U.S. reported that children and adolescents under 18 years old account for under 7% of COVID cases and less than 0.1%. of COVID-19 related deaths. So the reason they have such a low amount of cases is because children have generally been staying home, and they don't have to go to work like their parents. But even so, a 0.1% of the deaths is so low. So it's, if children get sick, it's not such a big deal. But what is a big deal is when they get sick and then they go home and spread the virus to their parents, especially when their parents have pre-existing conditions, whether they have diabetes or they're obese, right? These pre-existing conditions can really be exacerbated by having COVID-19, and their parents could easily die. So that is the real question. What happens when the students go home and spread it to their parents and spread it to their overarching community?
Right. A lot of people are saying like, oh, kids, you know, they aren't getting it that much, or, you know, they can't really get it, or if they do get it, they're not going to die. And that's true that, you know, they're less susceptible to it. But all part of that data that this shows that they're only 7% is the fact that, you know, they're not going out like parents. But if we do send them out to go to school again, then they are going to get a lot more. And while they might not get sick from it or get too sick from it, they could spread it to their parents or to other people. And, you know, someone like me who has my grandma staying with them, I definitely don't want to go to school and spread her any COVID that I would get.
And on a different note, COVID-19 school closures and online learning poses a big threat to lower income families. So first of all, as we talked about earlier, they don't have enough money, some of them, to provide food for their kids. So that's why we have national lunch programs and breakfast programs. So that can be hurtful to the kids' learning. But also these families, a lot of them don't have computers and they don't have Wi-Fi. So these kids are going home to supposed to be doing online learning, but they don't have the infrastructure in their homes to do it. Right. They don't have their parents don't have the ability to pay for it. And that's a big problem, right? A lot of these parents have been either laid off because of the pandemic, or they have low income, minimum wage jobs, and they can't pay for it. So what are the schools going to do to focus on these children who can't really afford to do online learning?
Yeah. And not just that, you know, if a parent, a lot of people, they do have jobs and they don't want to quit their jobs, but if they have young kids who can't stay at home by themselves, how are they supposed to go to work and leave their kids home by themselves, like without having an adult there present? And they can't afford childcare, and they can't send their kids to school because they don't want them to get sick. And so it's really just a bad situation, especially for families who are in lower income situations.
So the real question is, what is the solution? So we have three really options. All online, and that leaves out a lot of lower income people. School districts can fund computers, they can fund Wi-Fi, but in the end, they're just gonna lose a small group of people, or maybe a big group of people. And then you have the hybrid model, which means some students go in at some part of the day, maybe the mornings, and others in the afternoons, or one day half the students come in and the next day the other half. And then you have the all-in-person model. And as we've seen earlier this week in Atlanta, the all-in-person model can be very scary. So Atlanta, one of the schools reopened, I think it was a high school, and we saw a picture, somebody posted a picture of hallways packed with students. And it turned out at the end of the week, they had 9 COVID-19 cases, confirmed cases in that school so far, and over 925 students were in quarantine. So as we've seen, all in person can be very detrimental. So the real solution is, for the first part of the year, either going hybrid or all online. And it seems like a lot of the big school districts are going all online, at least for the beginning until mid or late December. I think 66 out of 101 of the biggest districts in the country have gone all online. And that really shows that people are scared and that the virus does spread in schools, as we've seen earlier this week.
Yeah, it's definitely something that there's not much of like an answer of really what's the best thing to do. There's so many different aspects on either side, pros and cons of every model that you could do. And it's just hard on the schools, hard on the students, hard on the parents. But that's what this is. The pandemic is a huge stressful time, and there aren't many great solutions, but you know, we're just going to have to wait it out. And hopefully in a few months, things will look better, that we can maybe get to more of an in-person or hybrid model that's still safe.
And you know, as we see often in this country, lower income families and students get the short end of the stick, and that's just what's happening here as well. It's very hard because we do have a pandemic to deal with. It's hard to support these people, and that kind of shows the disparity in our country between lower income and higher income families. It keeps lower income families in that cycle of poverty because they can't get the education or they can't feed themselves, so they have to drop out of school to work. So it is a real shame that we have to leave out some of these people during this time. And maybe the government and the legislature will come up with a solution, but it seems like there aren't very many. The real solution is you have to contain the virus to prevent deaths in the long run.
But whatever happens, we want to remind you guys to all stay safe, wear masks, and make sure to socially distance to your best of your capabilities.
And remember that this was the Young Perspective.